think it is a real joy and a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Saturday afternoon. We're grateful for God's eternal love, His infinite wisdom, and His understanding. As the Scripture said, He knows our downsetting and uprising and understands our faults afar off. There's nothing that we can ever experience we don't already know about. If they heard that He just wouldn't be God, He is God beside Him. There's none other. And I appreciate the Lord saving a wretched, vile sinner such as myself and giving me the free gift of eternal life. I know I'll never perish. I know that I'm eternally saved. God doesn't have any 30, 60, or 90-day plans. He said, my sheep have eternal life. They won't ever perish. No man's able to pluck them out of my hand. He said, the Father's greater than all. I'm glad He saved a wretched sinner such as myself without price, without money. I got me a drink out of a well of living water, and I've never thirsted again. Now, I've been tempted. That's part of being human. But so far as hungering for the world, I don't have the love of the world in me longer. I've got the love of God in me. That is God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When you get saved, it comes to automatic transformation and change. The Bible said, you who were dead, that's in time past, you who were dead in trespass and sin, you have to be quickened and made alive. When He saves you and forgives you, He gives you the free gift of eternal life. He quickens your eternal spirit, forgives you all your sins and your trespasses, and places them under His blood. Put in God's seal of forgiveness, never be brought to His remembrance anymore. What a blessing, what a joy, what an honor it is, not just to know about Him, but to have a personal experience in grace. Grace is an unmerited favor. That's something you don't deserve, something you cannot obtain within yourself. God commended His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Jesus died as our substitute. He is propitiation, the atonement for our sins. He that knew no sin became sin for you and I. Thank God we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And our righteousness, as far as the flesh is concerned, as it's filthy right in the sight of God Almighty, man from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, we're altogether vanity and vain, and we're wretched and vile and undone and without hope. There is no hope outside the blessed hope. He's the hope of all the world, the help of all who find other celebrities of good and kind. He asked me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Thank God I'm glad. I've been operated on. The operation of faith was performed, beloved, with His spiritual weapon, peace, being the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It divided asunder soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and He gave me the sermon of very seeking intent and thought of my heart. I came to myself. I seen myself as a sinner and asked God to have mercy upon me, not tongue in cheek, but with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. And the Lord forgave me all my sins and made a brand new man out of me and put me in newness of life. He took away the desire to smoke, to drink, to cuss, and to gamble. I've not had those bad habits since I got saved. Now I could have quit every one of them, reformed, and put on the case of do-betters, and turned over a new leaf, and got baptized in a watery grave, and joined up with a local assembly, but it still won't tell. That'll not save you, beloved. That'll not justify you. You've got to have your sin placed under His blood. The Bible said, outside the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness, no remission. But sin, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, cleanses us from all sin. Outside the shedding of His blood, outside His redemptive blood, His life that He gave, and of course His blood that He shed at Calvary, there is no hope. There is no way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by Him. Thank God I'm glad. I've entered in by the new and the living way, which He, that's Jesus, has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. Nobody entered inside the veil of the holiest of holies, but without blood. Of course, only the high priest was permitted in there inside that second veil, beloved, where the holiest of holies was. They could only come once a year on the Day of Atonement, and not, of course, without blood. That is, a sin offering, a blood that sacrifice. It was a substitute for the time then present. He brought that in for His own sin, and then, of course, then for the sin of the people. He could not sit down, beloved. He had to enter in and minister about holy thing and sprinkle the blood on all the holy things inside the holiest of holies, and then He had to exit, beloved, out of there, signifying the way had not been made as of yet, that the price had not been paid, beloved, to settle the sin debt, to rip the veil from top to bottom. But when Jesus died and gave up the ghost, the Bible said the veil back in Jerusalem was ripped from top to bottom, signifying the way had then been made, the price had then been paid, beloved, and He entered in, of course, on our behalf, and He represents us as far as that goes in heaven itself, on the real mercy seat in heaven itself, intercede the saints according to the will of God. What a blessed high priest, what a great mediator between God and man. What a wonderful Savior. It is. It saved, the scripture said, the uttermost. I said right on down to the guttermost. There is no restraint with the Lord to save by many or by few. Our God is well able, thank God, to save down to the uttermost and right on down to the guttermost. And nobody that he cannot save. Look, there's some folk that don't want to be saved, and he'll not force anybody against their own will. Man was created in the image of God and his likeness, brother. You have an opportunity to make choices. He gave us a God-given conscience, an awareness of right and wrong. We can make choices. God doesn't force you to get saved. He won't force you. He won't make you. This is free will. God give us a free will. And I'm so glad that he did. If he didn't, why, we'd be no more than just an animal or a puppet or something that you dangle along on the string. But God gave us the privilege and the opportunity to hear the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, and receive the Word of God into our heart, beloved, and to surrender ourselves, surrender our will to the will of God. Before God can ever operate on your heart, that is the operation of faith. Of course, it's got to come by the preaching, to hear the Word of God, before you have faith to believe. But, beloved, when you hear it, of course, you've got to believe it, and then you've got to receive it into your heart. The Bible said, receive, then grant the word with meekness, which alone is able to save your soul. One thing to hear it and to believe it, but another thing to receive it. Beloved, it's got to get real, or he's got to get alive in you. He's got to transform you, change you, quicken you, and make you alive, and operate on your heart. The operation of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How in the world could you call on him if not believe? How can he believe without a preaching? How can he preach, beloved, except he be sent? Salvation is a gift of God. It's free. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Beloved, he's the Savior of all mankind. Everybody, Jew or Gentile, red or white, black or white, makes no difference who you are. He's praise God. He's the same Lord over all and rich in all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, beloved, that's not tongue in cheek. That's not a lip service. That's not head knowledge and in one's mind. The Bible said for the heart. That's the eternal, immortal, invisible you that's housed in that earth house, that body of clay that you're tabernacle in, that house, beloved, that you're now dwelling in. That's this body, beloved, and it's plagued with sin. You're saved in iniquity and born in sin, and dust thou shall return. There's no discharge in the war of death. This body is corrupted, beloved. This so corrupted body is going to inherit an incorruptible body like the Son of God. If you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that time comes, the Bible said, when we give up the ghost, that is, this old body yields up and lays down and dies, beloved, and the spirit and the soul gets out of man, beloved, your body lays down. I'm going to tell you something, beloved, your body's going to die, but your spirit and your soul is going to either enter into heaven, beloved, into paradise where the Lord Jesus is, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord, or you'll enter into a place called hell, beloved, where the fire will be unquenchable, where the worm will die, and the smoke of the torment, beloved, a vengeance is going to send up heaven, there'll be no rest day or night in that second death. God have mercy on everybody that dies without the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to die in sin. He died in your place. When he became sin for us, beloved, the Bible said he didn't suffer his Holy One to seek corruption, nor left his soul in hell. He paid the ultimate price for our sin, beloved. He tasted of death, hell, and the grave. But up from the grave, he arose. He arose a victim of the dark domain. Praise God, he lives forever, and he rules, and he reigns, and he reigns, beloved, and he reigns. And, beloved, he's the eternal reign in Christ. He's at the order of the scripture said, a male Chesedek, who was out father, out mother, about inner days and inner life. Beloved, that's who he is, the pre-incarnate Christ, before he ever got down into human body. Of course, he became man, the Son of Man, yet the Son of God. Beloved, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He's the great high priest, the great mediator between God and man. That man being Christ Jesus. Yes, that's a lovely name. And the only name under heaven given among men by all the world must be saved. He's a must. He's a necessity. He won't make you. He won't force you. Thank God for that. He gives us an opportunity to accept them, to believe on him, receive him, beloved. And if you don't do that, that won't be his fault. That'll be your fault. Because you've heard the gospel, you denied the gospel in your life, you refuse it, and you rebel. Or you hope to have it maybe somewhere down, or accept it somewhere down the road. But, beloved, that's not the way it works. The Bible said the days of their salvation, now's the accepted time. God has a timeline, and God has a deadline. Beloved, the Bible said there's a purpose, a time for everything under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, a time of peace and a time of war. And insert the time of it when you can be saved. And brother, if you pass that time, you're going to wind up sending away your dead grace and be eternal lost. Although you may live for maybe another 50 years, but if you never have another opportunity, brother, to give up yourself or surrender yourself and you send away your dead grace, brother, God have mercy on you. It'll be better that you never have been born at your mother's womb. The scripture said it been, so that been, of course, great with you and have never seen light. That is a stillbirth, never knowing what it was to be born in this world. You'd be better off to never have seen light, brother, and your mother's womb to be great with you, brother, than to wind up growing up and, of course, dying in sin and taking of an eternal death. You don't want to go to hell, brother, and you don't have to. He was delivered for offenses and raised again for our justification. And, beloved, you can and will be saved if you don't repent of your sin. That's true in that penance, not being sorrowful or shameful. Of course, sin caught up with you. That'll bring sorrow, right? That'll bring death. But he said if you're sorrow after godly sorrow working under repentance, not to be repented of, not the sorrow of the world and bring forth death. But when you get broken contrite, you get earnest and sincere, you get ashamed of yourself. Yes, God have mercy upon you and ask him to save you and forgive you. He'll hear your cry. He'll answer your prayer, brother, and he'll save your soul and he'll give you the free gift of eternal life. He said, my sheep have eternal life. They won't ever pass. No man, he said, they've plucked them out of my hand. I believe what he said, brother. He said what he meant. You can't doctor that up and change that and try to take some script out of context to suit your own fancy to prove something you ain't got a lick of sense about knowing anything about, brother. He's not real to you. He's not alive in you, brother. You're just a minister of Satan. You're just a minister of Satan himself, of the devil, brother. And I'm glad the Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every man that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And, brother, when you get saved, he puts a divine nature in you. He puts his spirit inside you. And the Bible said, any man without the Spirit of Christ is none of his. This is a Holy Spirit. It's a loving spirit. It's a compassionate spirit, brother. And I need more of him. My God, if he's alive in me, God in me, Christ in me, no open more. But I need God to have mercy. A whole lot more of him and a whole lot less of me, brother. He's wonderfully precious. He's ever loved and he died for sinners. And Paul said of whom he was chief. Brother, I was a sinner, a chief sinner. Of course, I still have the capability of sin. I'm no longer recognized as a sinner inside of God. I'm a saint because he sanctified me, cleansed me, never. I'm still in the body. I'm still at war with the devil. I'm still at war with my flesh. There dwelleth no good thing, Paul said, in me that is in my flesh. I don't even know how to do good without the Lord. He's the good part. I delight in him, man, Paul said. I don't have any confidence in this rotten flesh. And so I want to meditate both day and night. It might be like that tree that planted by the waters and be able to bring forth fruit and do seeds. And you can't do anything without him, beloved. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And God help you to get saved. You're saved. God help you to live right. Dedicate yourself. Rededicate yourself so you can help win precious. So, now, see, my time is just about gone. Won't you write to us and pray for us? God bless you, is our prayer in his name. Amen.